Welcome to another episode of the Neon Movie Bunker. I'm John Robinson.
And I'm Ellery Stanek.
And we're here to talk about movies.
And Cannes.
Yes. Cannes Film Festival is going on right now as we speak. And once again, none of our deep-pocketed listeners have come through to send me there.
No. No. They haven't. Although, if you were to hear Tilda Swinton describe it, it's not what it used to be.
Really?
Yeah. She specifically said that she misses the old days when there were more trauma booths there and people in costumes, specifically penis costumes, you know, handing out flyers and trying to drum up attention for the trauma films being offered for distribution.
Tilda Swinton and Uncle Lloyd, like this, who'd have thought?
Yeah, I love that idea. The idea of Tilda Swinton in a Lloyd Kaufman production is my happy place right now. Also happening at Cannes is the American Pavilion programming. And in their lineup includes A Conversation with John Carpenter, who has been honored at the festival.
Yeah.
The legendary filmmaker and composer is being, his conversation is being moderated by Kevin Simiton from IMDb.
Okay.
So that's, you know, fun. Of course, with Cannes comes all sorts of distribution news.
Yes.
And Sony Pictures has announced that they have acquired all rights in North America, France, India, and several other territories for the film After the Wedding.
Ah.
Are you familiar with it?
That's Julianne Moore, Michelle Williams, Bart Freundlich, right?
You've got it.
Remake of Suzanne Beer's picture.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Let's see here. Then we also have the New York Women in Film and Television celebrating their the 20th anniversary of Designing Women Awards with their 2019 honorees from Game of Thrones, Atlanta, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and more. The honorees include Richie Johnson, Donna Zakowska, Patricia Regan, Jerry DiCarlo, and many others.
Neat.
And then we knew it was going to happen sooner or later.
Yes.
But Avengers Endgame has been knocked down off of the top slot in the box office.
Yes. By John Wick 3, Parabellum.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We'll get to that in a second.
I kind of figured we would.
But there's something else we should talk about, too.
Is there?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it?
The Batman.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a completely done deal yet, but it's awful darn close that Robert Pattinson will be stepping into the cape and cowl of the Batman for Matt Reeves' picture, The Batman, in 2021. And I've seen two schools of thought on this.
Okay.
I've seen people who have seen Robert Pattinson in non-Twilight roles and realize he's actually
quite really great choice,
quite good at what he does.
Yeah.
And are happy about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have people who have not seen Robert Pattinson in anything since Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, but judge him for the Twilight movies, who are unhappy about this.
Grow up.
Yeah.
You know, he...
You know who hates the Twilight movies more than you do? Robert Pattinson.
Among others, like, say,
Kristen Stewart, too.
Michael Sheen isn't a huge fan.
No. So, yeah, it's a good choice.
It really is. It really, really is.
And look forward to seeing that movie when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Also speculation that they may have chosen the villain, but not necessarily who's going to play the villain.
Villains,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
The most prominent name I'm seeing is the Penguin.
Along with?
An appearance by Catwoman.
Mm-hmm. Which worked well last time.
Yeah. And there may be another, but... Because Catwoman's role was said to be...
Minute.
Well.
Diminutive.
Non-villainous.
Really?
Non-completely villainous.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
So, we shall see, we shall see, we shall see. So, listeners, do you want to take us to task for taking you to task for not liking Robert Pattinson? Send us an email, mail@neonmoviebunker.com. We'll read it on the air and tell you how you're wrong.
That's right. Not only that, but you could also contact us via
facebook.com/neonmoviebunker.
Mm-hmm.
Or
if you prefer.
Twitter.com/NeonMovieBunker or at NeonMovieBunker or at JohnNMB.
Mm-hmm.
Or
at LRANeonMB.
Places.
Things and stuff.
Yes.
I've been kind of lazily live tweeting first times. Catching up on older genre stuff, and I've been lazily live tweeting my responses to some of it.
Yes.
It's been fun.
I've seen your Serenity tweets.
Oh, man. That movie is bonkers.
Yeah.
You were right. It's bonkers. The thing is, replicas, also bonkers, significantly more fun.
Yeah. Serenity, though, is...
It is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. I don't think Anne Hathaway is wrong in that.
Yeah.
Just wrong. In so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever.
And then, of course, there's the website,
mm-hmm.
www.neonmoviebunker.com.
That's right. You can find all sorts of movie trailers, news bits, and, of course, every single show.
Yes. And then, of course, please subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify.
Mm-hmm. So, John.
Yes.
You saw a movie.
Did.
I saw it with you.
You did.
It was, well, I know my opinion. I thought it was fun. Let's find out what your opinion is.
We're talking about John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum.
Mm.
Directed by Chad Stahelski. Written by, screenplay by Derek Kolstad and Shay Hatton and Chris Collins and Mark Abrams. Story by Derek Kolstad, based on characters created by Derek Kolstad. Stars Keanu Reeves, Halle Berry, Ian McShane, Lawrence Fishburne, Angelica Houston, Asia Kate Dillon, Mark Dacascos, Lance Reddick, and many, many others. Many of them die.
Mm.
And cannon fodder.
Yes.
It picks up immediately after the events of John Wick Chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
wherein John Wick has murdered a member of the High Table in the Continental Hotel and has been declared excommunicado, meaning he can no longer receive assistance. And there's an old line: the problem with living outside the law is no longer being able to depend on its comforts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where John Wick finds himself.
Yeah.
But he's got a new puppy.
That he does.
And he has 1 hour head start to try and avoid the increasingly large contract on his head.
Yeah, it starts off at what? 13 million? Moves to 14 million. 15, keeps climbing.
Yeah, keeps going up. And yes, this is the thing that has happened. And into Winston's life, Winston played by Ian McShane, the proprietor of the manager of the Continental Hotel,
mm-hmm.
into his life, an adjudicator walks.
Ah, yes.
The adjudicator is sent by the High Table
mm-hmm.
to, well, correct some things. Eventually, John Wick manages to escape New York and finds himself in Casablanca, where he meets up with Sophia, with whom he has prior history.
Mm-hmm.
She puts him in touch with someone who sends him back to New York, and then fighty, 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 kill, 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 bang, 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 stab, crash.
Much violence.
Action, action, action.
Yes.
This is the first John Wick movie I've seen all the way through. I saw the second half of Chapter 2 on HBO.
Okay.
And it works. It works pretty well.
Yeah, it does.
Even though the main bad guy's impact was diminished slightly by the fact that he was Chairman Kaga's nephew on Iron Chef America for several years.
Well.
Which just makes me giggle.
Yeah. Well, he had some lines to make you giggle, too.
Yeah. Some were intentional.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is probably the funniest of the John Wick movies.
Okay.
So, Take that as you will.
All right. Keanu is Keanu in the John Wick role. Yeah, everybody knows what kind of movie they're in and acts accordingly. Want to specifically point out Asia Kate Dillon as the adjudicator.
Good.
They are doing very good work as the cold, above it all type.
Calculating.
Yes.
Very calculating.
Yes. So, yeah, it's, if you like the first two John Wick movies, I'm guessing you're probably going to like this one.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't see the first two John Wick movies, you don't necessarily need to.
You'll still get a kick out of this one.
Yeah.
Or a stab. Or a punch.
Or a bullet.
Or a slice.
Or a finger.
Yes. Oh, man. Yeah.
There's some high-quality violence in this, and sometimes that's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
John Wick, Chapter 3, in theaters now. Yeah, see it.
Yeah, I would say so. Also in theaters now, and also violent, but not in the same way, is Pokemon Detective Pikachu, directed by Rob Letterman, starring Justice Smith, Catherine Newton, Ryan Reynolds, Bill Nighy, Ken Watanabe, and many others, including Suki Waterhouse.
Wow.
We follow Tim Goodman.
Okay.
Tim Goodman is a young man just kind of turning 21, and he works for an insurance company. He is doing well for the insurance company. He's in line for a promotion.
Hey.
And there's something about him that sets him apart from almost everyone else on the planet.
Two heads.
No. Actually, he does not have a Pokemon partner.
Ah.
Most people have a Pokemon.
Okay.
Some people train these Pokemon for Pokemon battles. Some just live with them as pets, friends, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Tim, no. Not so much on the whole Pokemon. Well, he gets a call from the Rain City Police Department.
Okay.
There's an accident. And his father, who is a detective there, has gone missing.
Hmm.
As has his Pokemon partner.
Hmm.
So Tim goes to the city to basically say his final goodbyes to his father, go through his effects, take care of his business, and move on.
Yeah.
And he enters, and he's about to go to his father's apartment, and he meets Lucy Stevenson, a young intern at the local news network.
Okay.
And she's working on a story, something that she thinks is going to make her career and is going to break her into the big time. And she and her Psyduck are there. And he's not, Tim's not interested. Thanks, but no thanks. And goes into the apartment. And he's getting ready to settle in for the night. And he hears a noise in the other room.
Not a noise.
A noise. He goes and checks, and it's a Pikachu.
Okay.
Like, all right, what are you doing here? And the Pikachu responds, well, I'm looking through my old partner's stuff, trying to find out what's going on.
What?
Yeah, you see, most people can't communicate with Pokemon like that. You say hi to a Pikachu, you get Pika. You say hi to a Psyduck, you get Psyduck. I mean, you can kind of tell in the same sort of way you can tell what
Groot is saying,
or Chewbacca, or whatever. But to have clear, completely word-for-word understanding is not something that really happens with Pokemon. So now, Tim and Pikachu have two mysteries to solve. This leads through a whole bunch of adventures for the two of them that could best be described as one part Chinatown, one part Blade Runner, one part Who Framed Roger Rabbit. All through the lens of Pokemon. Pikachu is voiced by Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
It's a very Ryan Reynolds performance.
Okay.
And
I understand there are enough deleted clips to make an R-rated version of this.
This does not surprise me in the least. If Warner and Legendary and the Pokemon Company ever decide to release it, I'm there. But that's largely because, oh my God, this movie is fun.
Good.
Holy hell, this is fun. This is about as perfect family entertainment as you can get.
Wow.
There's enough going on that... There's enough going on story-wise that adults won't be bored, but it's laid out well enough that the kids can follow along. There's enough going on visually. I saw a 2D presentation of it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of regret that
because
I have a feeling that this would look phenomenal in 3D. The effects work is really, really impressive. The facial expressions on the various Pokemon seem natural. You get the, not only do you get, like, the surface motion of the faces, but you get that, like, under the fur muscle thing that you don't always get in animation. And it works so incredibly well. I had a blast watching this. There's one sequence where they're interviewing where Tim and Pikachu are questioning a Pokemon. And I'm sitting there with Maggie and we're watching. I'm like, okay, this is all right. And then they start going a little dark with it. And Maggie and I look at each other like, are they really going to do this? And they keep going, and oh my God, they're really going to do this. It goes a little Reservoir Dogs. Just a little Reservoir Dogs. And the thing is, they're able to pull it off, and it comes off not necessarily as out of place. It just... The whole thing plays like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It pulls the best of like that Looney Tunes-esque world and brings it into the real world. This is a hell of a ride, and I had an incredible time watching it.
And I thank you now for putting the song Jigglypuffs to the left, me Squirtles to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you in my head.
Stuck in the middle with Mew. But yeah, I would highly recommend this. If you have kids and you're like, what, we've already seen Avengers, or maybe they're too young for Avengers, take them to this. If you are a fan of detective stories and you like amazing eye-popping visuals, go see this. This is just a fun, weird but fun movie.
All right. So, listeners, did you see John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum, or did you see Pokemon Detective Pikachu? Please let us know what you thought. mail@neonmoviebunker.com.
In the meantime,
DVDs and Blu-rays, DVDs and Blu-rays, DVDs and Blu-rays?
Yes.
Cool.
And out this week on DVD and Blu-ray is the documentary Iceman about the fossilized man who was found in the ice. Yeah.
Also coming on DVD and Blu-ray this week is How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, which is a relatively worthy capstone to that series.
Excellent.
And I'm sure it'll look great at home on Blu-ray. Or even 4K. If it's, I don't know if it's...
It's available on 4K.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll look great there, too.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got Roger Deakins as your...
advisor,
yeah,
you're gonna have something looking good as long as you listen to him.
Yeah, which they did.
Mm-hmm. I don't have anything in particular for you to skip this week if you're looking at home video releases.
Okay.
It's a pretty good week, actually. I mean, there's, as you mentioned, How to Train Your Dragon. There's also Isn't It Romantic?
Ah, yes.
Coming out. Let's see here. What was the title of the Bryan Cranston?
The Upside.
The Upside, yes. So, you know, there's some various fun stuff on the massive, everybody knows it's coming outside, and nothing that would make me go, oh God, don't see that, coming out that's quieter.
All right.
Like, you know, a Serbian film. Oh my God, don't see that.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, John.
Let's go to the movies.
Okie dokie, what are we going to go see?
First on the list of things to see right now continues to be Avengers Endgame.
That's fair.
Next on the list of things to see right now is John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum.
I can agree with that.
And last on the list of things to see right now is Long Shot.
Hmm.
Because it's a blast.
Okay. If you're going to stay home and pop something into your home video player of choice, the first thing that I would recommend to you is Happy Death Day to You, which takes the slasher movie premise of the first one and moves it into sci-fi for some fun multiverse traveling exploits. Follow that up with White Chamber, a rather intense... this one kind of goes into the torture porn category. Let's call it sci-fi torture porn, where we're talking about a society where people disappear and are questioned extensively. And finish things with, it's newly available through the Warner Archive collection, the Shaft triple feature, including the original 1971 Shaft, its sequel Shaft's Big Score, and
Shaft in Africa.
Shaft in Africa. Really, the jewel of this set, and it is available on its own, is Shaft's Big Score. Because that is, of the four Shaft movies that I've seen thus far, by far the best.
Really?
Yeah.
Better than the original?
Better than the original. Just a really great story, really well performed and well shot. But all of them are entertaining. And now you can get them all in one, well, at least the first three in a nice package all together.
Cool. Just in time for the upcoming remake.
And re-requel.
Because
it's not a, reboot, the second soft reboot.
Yes. Shaft 3.0. And so we come to the end of another episode of the Neon Movie Bunker. This week's episode is produced by LRA Stanek. The executive producer is Kate Walpole. The junior executive producer is Maggie Stanek. The theme song is by
Dr. Awkward and the Monkey Man Trio.
So until next time, I'm John Robinson.
And I'm LRA Stanek.
And we'll probably see you at the movies.